Everybody, I think this is my new intro song. I'm Beatty Cohn Vretas, and welcome, welcome, and welcome again, my friends, to the Ask Beatty Show. And for those of you who may be wondering, what is the Ask Beatty Show? And you may have found this show for the first time. I am a psychotherapist, and I'm also a sex therapist. I'm the author of the groundbreaking book on relationships for better, for worse, forever, Discover the Path for Lasting Love. And this is a book for anyone at all who is really, really serious about assessing who is really right for you and who is also wrong for you before committing to any serious relationship. And I think that most of us at one point in our life would say that we really wished that we had had this kind of a resource when we began our own relationship lives. But I'm also a columnist. I'm a national speaker. And for those of you who've been watching me on national and local television for the last 25 years, you know that I have been an expert guest on over actually 1,000 shows. I was going through my resume over the weekend, and it's really amazing how many appearances that I made. This was particularly so after the book came out. But I think that of all the things that I do, and of course, I love doing the Ask Beatty Show, and today is the 340th Ask Beatty Show here on the Progressive Radio Network. But my real passion professionally, of course, is doing psychotherapy and sex therapy. And I have a private practice here in New York City and also in East Hampton. But the reality, my friends, is that we are really struggling. We are struggling globally. We are also struggling in this country. And I was looking at some of the depression statistics. For example, in the United States, 17.3 million adults are suffering from true clinical depression, and that translates into 7.1% of all adults. And for adult females, that number is 8.7%. And if we're looking at anxiety disorders, 40 million people have been diagnosed thus far. And of course, it's been a really, really rough year with the pandemic. And hopefully with spring and summer that is upon us, we're going to be able to get out, we're going to eat better, we are going to exercise more, and we're going to be taking better care of ourselves. But just before the show, I was also looking at some of the adolescent statistics when we're looking at major depression. And here we have, and this is a really, really concerning number, an estimated 3.2 million adolescents ages 12 to 17 in the United States had at least one major depressive episode. And this number actually represented 13.3% of the U.S. population ages 12 to 17. And the prevalence of major depressive episode was higher amongst adolescent females, 20.0%, compared to males, 6.8%. And the prevalence of major depressive episode was highest among adolescents reporting two or more races, 16.9%. And what I've really hoped over the last many, many, many years on radio, on the Ask Beatty Show, and on television is that I've hopefully convinced a good number of you is that when things are starting to get really, really out of sorts, that you are going to give yourself permission to actually reach out and ask for help. And if we're looking at the divorce rate in this country, as an example, the divorce rate for first marriages happens to be 48%. And for second marriages, that number goes up to 67%. And I was talking to a new patient just yesterday, and she was saying, you know, I would have thought that the numbers would go down. I would have hoped and I would have thought that we have learned something from relationship issues and perhaps relationship errors that we have made along the way. However, the reality is that the divorce rate for third marriages is 74%. And what I have discovered over the years is that there are actually three things that we all need to do to never make a mistake in love again. And it is not just about wishing and hoping that somebody is going to appear in our lives and save us, but I really want you to take these three things in. Number one, each of us, yes, each of us needs to be in a really good place emotionally and psychologically and psychiatrically. So that means that we have some work to do. We need to deal with our depression as best as we possibly can, and our anxiety and traumas from our history, typically resulting and beginning with our own family of origin. And as I used to tell my daughter Jordana when she was a little girl, I used to say, honey, the relationship needs to be the icing on the cake, and we need to be the cake. We need to be as together as we possibly can. And unfortunately, this first step can really not be fast forwarded. So if you have some what I call unfinished business, and we all have some unfinished business and also some skeletons in our closets, the very, very best thing that we all need to do, even though we can't change history, is to be willing to acknowledge and address and resolve as best as we possibly can the issues that get in the way and that continue to get in the way of our own lives and our relationships. And number two, what I've found is that whether or not you're rich or poor or educated or not, or black or white or Hispanic or gay or straight or or trans, the majority of people have simply not really learned. We haven't learned the ingredients to go into a healthy relationship. And that is a lesson. That is a lesson that we really all need to be committed to learning if we are going to find and maintain a healthy relationship with anyone. And of course, number three is my formula. I did research with 450 people in the Boston, Providence, and Connecticut area. And I came up with this formula. And for people who know me, they know that I'm very, very bottom line. If it doesn't work, let's not waste our time talking about it. But this 10-step formula, it really teaches all of us how to assess who's right for you and who's wrong for you before committing to any serious relationship. And it really does change the way that we look at relationships forever. It educates, it empowers, and above all, it keeps us safe. And I'll tell you something, I wish that I had had this formula when I began my dating and my relationship life many, many, many years ago. So again, the book, For Better, For Worse, Forever, Discover the Path to Lasting Love. And just a couple of other reminders, you know, when we're talking about doing what is really in our best interest, on a daily basis. And of course, Dr. Gary Null, he talks about this all the time. And we're talking about, of course, plant-based diets and the fruits and the vegetables and the grains and the fish, and making sure that we have sufficient interaction and socialization with others. And now that hopefully we're going to be getting out more and seeing people face to face, that is really going to help us all to feel better. And of course, getting sufficient sleep and the exercise. Studies are very, very clear about the importance of exercise, not only on our physical health, but on our mental health as well. The weight training, the yoga, the meditation, the massage. And of course, having really supportive people in our life. And when most people talk about toxins, they talk about chemicals. And when I talk about toxins, I primarily talk about toxic relationships and toxic people. And what we want to do as best as we possibly can is eliminate all toxicity, including the chemical toxins and also including toxic people. And other things that really help us to feel better every day is positive visualization and dancing and listening to music. And some people really like herbal teas. I think we have probably 20 different kinds of herbal teas in our kitchen that my husband Jim tends to really like. And of course, helping others and giving back, that makes such a big, big difference. And a lot of people, including myself, just love the idea of having a dog. And we have a Cha-Cha, who is actually a therapy dog. And it was interesting when people and patients were coming to see me, and I haven't seen a live patient in over a year, and hopefully that is going to change. Somebody might come to my office and feeling so depressed, and just having Cha-Cha, you know, welcome them at the door, it really made all the difference in the world. And of course, if we're talking about really maintaining a good diet, that means just being really aware of eliminating sugars and sodas and alcohol and nicotine, and of course, all toxins, including toxic people. Well, today we are going to have a really, really interesting show about cosmetic surgery, both cosmetic surgery and I think that many people don't really realize that the global cosmetic surgery industry was $50.67 billion, and that's with a B, in 2018. It is projected to reach $66.96 billion by 2026, and trends indicate that it is likely to gain traction from the ever-increasing number of patients undergoing procedures such as facelifts and rhinoplasty and chin augmentation and breast reduction, and the list goes on and on. And in 2018, Americans spent $16.5 billion on combined surgical and non-surgical aesthetic procedures, and that number is rising every year. And for those of you who may not know, for those of you who are interested, it is most popular, cosmetic surgery is most popular in the United States, Brazil, Mexico, and Germany. And that the top five cosmetic surgical procedures are breast augmentation, liposuction, eyelid surgery, nose shaping, and facelifts. And that the top minimally invasive procedures are Botox and soft tissue fillers and chemical peels and laser hair removal and intense pulsed light. However, I want you to know, because I have two terrific guests that we are going to be talking to and listening to very, very shortly, all plastic surgeons and professionals who work in the aesthetic world, like all therapists, are not the same. And any doctor, from a dermatologist to an oral surgeon, can call him or herself a cosmetic surgeon. So what do we have to do as consumers to protect ourselves from the thousands of ads and likes and reviews from practitioners who have minimal training and expertise? In fact, my first guest is Marshall Allen. A patient of mine actually sent me an article that Marshall Allen, who is a journalist, wrote. And the article, the title of the article is, "I'm a Journalist. Apparently, I'm also one of America's top doctors." And it is a horrifying article. We're going to be talking about this in a moment, about how this writer was able, believe it or not, to get an American Top Doctor Award by simply buying a plaque. So Marshall Allen is a reporter at ProPublica investigating the cost and quantity of and quality of healthcare. So welcome, Marshall. I am so excited that we are going to have an opportunity to speak today and really address your article. I'm a journalist. Apparently, I'm also one of America's top doctors. So do tell us about what happened to you.
Thank you, Beattie. I think you actually need to refer to me as Dr. Allen.
Absolutely. Yes.
Be consistent with my story. Of course, I'm not actually a doctor. I'm totally kidding. But the crazy thing about the American healthcare system is that it is very hard to tell the quality of one doctor from another or one hospital from another. And a lot of times there's a lot of marketing, kind of smoke and mirrors, and advertising smoke and mirrors that get deployed to really, I think, deceive consumers and mislead consumers. And one of the examples of this is these awards that you see on the walls of a lot of the doctors that maybe some of your listeners have even gone to, you know, these best doctors or super doctors or top doctors awards. They put them in magazines, you know, so New Jersey's right. top doctors or New York's top doctors.
Right.
I got a call. So I'm a journalist, not a doctor, but I got a voicemail a couple years ago. And the voicemail said, "Dr. Allen, we want to congratulate you on your top doctor award. Please call this number to claim your award." And of course, I decided I would call and I would take some notes and I would inquire about how I, a non-doctor, had received this top doctor award.
Right.
So I call the number and I ask them how I got the award. And they said, "Well, your peers must have nominated you based on your skills and expertise." And I said, "Oh, that's very interesting." I said, "Well, how do I go about getting this award?" And they said, "Well, it costs $289.
Wow.
It's just a nominal fee. And I knew, you know, that ProPublica, where I work, was not just, I might have a hard time having them expense a $289 plaque as much as I wanted one. So I said, "Is there any way I can get a little bit better deal on it?" And they said, "Well, I would hate for you to miss out on this opportunity. So if you act right now, I can get it for you for $99. And so, of course, I whipped out my ProPublica credit card. But before I could get the award, I had to tell them the truth. You know, I mean, we don't ever mislead people when we do our stories. We do investigative reporting, but we always right. do it by being honest. I mean, I would never claim to be a doctor just to get the award. And so I told the woman, I said, "Well, hey, look, there is this one issue that I have to ask you about." I said, "The problem is I'm not actually a doctor." I said, "I'm a healthcare journalist. I do lots of reporting about doctors, but I'm not actually a doctor. But can I still have the award?" And she paused for a minute and she said, "Yeah, no problem. You can still have the award." So she gave me the award. And then there's a place on the award, you know, where you have to say like top cardiologist or top anesthesiologist right. or top psychiatrist. They asked me what my specialty was. And I said, "Well, why don't you put investigator, since I'm an investigative reporter." So now I'm the proud owner of a top doctor plaque for the state of New York that says I'm a top investigator. And it was funny and it was absurd, but it was also very sad and scary because of what it says about our healthcare system.
No, absolutely. And I have to tell you, as someone who's always been, you know, very interested in this issue and, you know, following you and me talking right now, Michelle Malpica, who is the real deal and who is an RN who works with the renowned plastic surgeon, Dr. Barry Weintraub, we're going to be talking about so many of the procedures that are being done by people who are really simply not qualified, even in the so-called, medical field. But I was so taken aback, Marshall, when I read your piece and how easy it was for you to get the plaque. And I know that when I read and when we all read about various different doctors in the New York Times and we're seeing this super doctor and best doctor and top doctor, I mean, I would like to think that I'm somebody that is not naive. And yet I thought, well, gee, if you know these people are getting this kind of recognition, that it must be for real. And here you are in your investigative reporting. You've uncovered a major, major scam.
Yes, it is a scam. It's not the same type of problem, though, across the board. So if you look at my story, and hopefully you all can post a link to my story for your listeners so they can see it. Yes. But if anyone's interested, they can go to ProPublica, they can Google my name and top doctor, Marshall Allen and top doctor, and they can find it. But I really did break down the way these different awards give out the plaques to doctors. So they're not all, this one that I got an award from is a complete scam. It is completely fraudulent. And by the way, I did a reverse image search, and I found lots of doctors online who have my same award. So there are a lot of doctors who have the same scammy, fraudulent award that I have. Mm-hmm. The other companies, though, like Super Doctor or Castle Connolly top doctors, they actually do a process where they get referrals from different doctors. So they have some metric, but still those systems would be very easy to game. I mean, if doctors really got together and said, hey, you nominate me or I'll nominate you, they could nominate themselves and get these awards. I mean, they don't have strict criteria. And part of the reason for that is that there are almost no publicly reported quality or patient safety outcomes that are reported for individual doctors. And so it's very hard to find out the quality of one doctor compared to another. And so that's why when they say someone's a top doctor or a best doctor, it's very hard to actually quantify that in a meaningful way, and almost none of that quality information is reported to the public.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You know, I was actually really taken aback a little bit, you know, when you were talking about Castle Connolly, because I always was under the impression that this was a really, really reputable company. And,
well, they,
you know,
would say, they
here,
would say
look
that
at what you found.
So they would say that their process is reputable, and so they would claim that. But what I think in talking to them about their methodology is that it is easy. It would be easy to manipulate that methodology if you wanted to. So there's just these different companies put these things out. They make money doing this.
Yes.
It can be really good money doing this because then people buy the plaques, they buy the products. Like at Castle Connolly, doctors can pay for an enhanced profile in their online listings. They can purchase plaques. They team up with magazines to do promotional issues in different cities. And so this is a money-making enterprise for these companies that give out these awards as much as anything else. And, of course, it's driven by the ego of the doctors who want the awards. And I think it works. You know, I think patients don't know. They don't realize that there's no substantive metrics that's measuring one doctor from another.
No, exactly. And I mean, these days, you know, people are looking at reviews and stars and likes and followers. And I think it's becoming, you know, increasingly difficult, you know, to really be able to online anyways, evaluate, you know, who is somebody who you can really trust. And of course, the same thing goes for psychotherapists and sex therapists as well. I mean, I had recently, you know, talked about how everybody is now an expert. You have relationship experts and psychotherapists and the list goes on and coaches. And I think that the consumer, I mean, we need to find really much, much better ways to empower the consumer so that they are not going to end up not only getting scammed, but I mean, it can be something, especially in the world of cosmetic surgery. And of course, also in psychotherapy, the experiences can end up being really, really damaging and dangerous. So, you know, what I try to do, of course, is to try and educate people to be as consumer savvy. And yet, Marshall, I was really taken aback. As I said, I thought I was somebody who was pretty intelligent, you know, when it came to, you know, knowing about some of the things that you've written about. And, you know, hopefully people who are listening to the show right now, and I will definitely post your article, are going to pause before being taken in by this super doctor, best doctor, top doctor scam. I mean, it just sounds like it's one big money-making scam.
Well, I hope that they do take notice and ask some further questions. You brought up healthcare literacy and becoming a smarter healthcare consumer. I've written a book that's coming out in June called Never Pay the First Bill and Other Ways to Fight the Healthcare System and Win. And this top doctor story, I think, illustrates the reason I felt I needed to write the book. And the issue that I'm finding is that people don't really know how to be healthcare consumers. Right. And so they end up paying way more than they should. They end up not knowing how to go to someplace for the best quality of care. They end up going into debt because of massive medical bills. But then other people who know how to be better healthcare consumers are able to make decisions to get care for a much lower price, even though it's the same quality of care. Or they can identify errors in their medical bills before they pay them so they don't get stuck with unfair charges. And so I have done so many of these stories where consumers have been exploited and taken advantage of that I wanted to write a book to help guide people so that they could be wiser healthcare consumers and so that they could, frankly, save a ton of money for their families while getting the same healthcare, good healthcare that they deserve.
Well, I definitely am going to want to interview you. And when your book comes out, you can, you know, send me a copy and then we will set up a date for you to come on the show. And, you know, for me, it is all about empowering people with knowledge that really impacts the quality of their lives and their relationships. So listen, let's definitely be in touch, and I'll be able to book you on the show as, you know, we'll set up a date, okay? And I want to thank you so
awesome.
Much, Marshall.
Thank
and
you
we'll
so
talk,
much,
we'll
BD.
Talk soon,
All
okay?
All the best to you. Okay, bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye. Very, very interesting, Marshall Allen. Okay, the article, I'm a journalist, apparently. I am also one of America's top doctors. But I now have a guest who is the real, real deal. Michelle Malpica, who is an RN, CNI, CLO, is BeautyWorks expert clinician. And BeautyWorks is also the real deal. And its founder is led by board certified Dr. Barry Wountrop, who I actually met when I was at the office recently. And Dr. Wountrop is one of New York's top plastic surgeons and a leader in the field of aesthetic plastic surgery. And he is sought out worldwide for his expertise. And Dr. Weintraub is known for his consistency in achieving subtle, natural results. And he brings years and years of experience to the field. And I fortunately, and this was by chance, I met Michelle Malpica because I am a consumer who has been very interested in keeping myself looking as best as I possibly can. And I want to welcome you, Michelle, to the show.
Hi, Beady. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. Are you surprised by anything that Marshall Allen has had to tell us?
Oh my gosh, I wish I could say yes, but I wasn't particularly surprised, unfortunately.
You're
not.
No. Interesting. No. Well, listen, Michelle is a trauma emergency room nurse. She is the real deal, an advanced laser operator and a clinical injectables trainer to physicians and other medical professionals. And you hold so many numerous certifications. And I want to tell you that I personally, Michelle, I am so, so glad that I know you, and we've already worked together on a couple of occasions. And, you know, I was saying to my husband, Jim, it is such a relief, and I want everybody to know, to not have to worry if I am going to, or people are wanting to have any, you know, cosmetic procedures. And I'm just so, I'm so thrilled that I've met you. So I have, I have some questions.
I feel the same way. Thank you, Judy.
Well, this is this is a great thing. I mean, the connection is important. The chemistry is important.
Oh, yeah.
And, of course, above all, the expertise is really, really, really important. So I know that many people who knew that you were going to be coming on the show, they sent me questions. So I'm going to start with some of the people's questions, and then we're going to talk about all the many, many things that that you do. So first of all, how early is really too early to begin having surgical and non-surgical procedures done without becoming overly crazed and obsessed with our looks?
Well, so I think this is going to depend on the person as well as the people around them. So the specific answers, there are certain age ranges for some of the non-surgical procedures like Botox. You have to be 18 or older. Some of the dermal fillers, 21 and over. Surgical side, I mean, we have boys and girls, sometimes 16, coming in for a rhinoplasty. But I think it's important, really important, to have somebody around you, whether it's a good friend or a family member or somebody like me, to say, hey, listen, I think you can, you know, kind of pump the brakes. We've gone a little too far. You know, let's look at it from, you know, fresh eyes and wait on it a minute so that you don't go overboard.
See, and that's the thing. You need to find you or somebody like you who's going to be honest enough to say enough is enough, and that you are going overboard, and perhaps you need to see Beady Conranos for some other issues that you may need to deal with, and that the answer is not just going to be, you know, more and more fillers or more and more cosmetic surgery. But what is, and this is something that a number of women actually, when they emailed me, they wanted to know, what is the best preventative care for our faces beginning at an early age before we find ourselves with lines and droopings? What should we be doing? What should people be doing?
I would say probably the number one best preventative care starting at an early age is going to be sunscreen. And I know it sounds cliche, but we do the majority of the damage to our skin before we're 24. And because we're young and we're having fun and we're not really thinking about it, we're out on the beach or on the lake and, you know, not thinking about the long-term ramifications. And something as simple as putting on a quality sunscreen, you know, something that's a medical grade, things like what you can get here at Beauty Works, NYC, we have IS Clinical and Elta MD. Those are going to be really helpful and really easy things that you can implement at, you know, a very young age.
So the sunscreen, it's not just the advertising. It's really, really important to use sunscreen beginning at the earliest possible age that you can. So no way around that.
Yes.
Okay.
That's the best.
Okay, so hopefully people are really hearing this and taking this in. And if they haven't done it, then tomorrow when they go out, whether or not there's sun or no sun, that they are going to put sunscreen on their face and on their body.
Listen, another question came from, everybody likes to have sun.
Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry, Didi.
I'm sorry, I missed what you just said.
No, I was just saying I understand that everybody likes the way they look with a little sun on themselves. I made those same kind of mistakes, too, when I was younger. But, yeah, it does go a long way, and it's going to prevent a lot of things, not only aesthetically, but obviously medical things, too, like skin cancers and other things.
Exactly. And of course, we can always use bronzers and we can use a darker shade of foundation and we can get the look. We can get the look without doing damage to our skin. A number of women wanted to know, because I have been so excited, Michelle, really about meeting you. And I want people to know that Michelle is not paying me. There's no plan. there's no manipulation. And people who know me, they know me that I tell it the way it really is. So they wanted to know what happens when somebody comes to you for an initial consultation. They don't know what they want. They need your advice. What happens?
So, of course, when they come in, you know, we do all the paperwork and everything like that. But when I bring somebody into my room, I'm going to introduce myself and we'll sit down. And the first thing that I ask somebody is, what concerns you most when you look in the mirror? Because that's what this is all about. You know, it doesn't matter if somebody is a supermodel or not. Every single one of us has our own insecurities and has our own thing that bothers us, whether or not anybody else can see it, you know? I want to know what that is. This way we can then together talk about building a plan that can help us achieve these goals. And really what it's about for me is making people feel good about themselves. I mean, I can't tell you, I think you know that I love my job and I love it because I love to make people happy. And, you know, even if you're a happy person on the inside, when you have that thing that's nagging you, I feel like it really keeps you from being your best self. And most of the people that come in, they're coming in for themselves. They're not coming in for, you know, their spouse or their partner, anybody else. It's for you. And so that's really what I want to elicit is, you know, what's the thing that bothers you? And then we can work together in formulating a treatment plan to address those issues.
Mm-hmm. No, and I know that with me, I mean, you were so wonderful and not pushing anything, and it was like, okay, let's talk about, you know, some of the things that, as you say, that, you know, were of concern to me. In fact, you know, so many people these days, of course, are getting Botox, and I was remarking to a friend of mine, nobody has ever taken the time that you take. You are meticulous. Nobody has ever put so many needles, small needles, into my face. But there was a reason for it. And the thing that was so amazing, yeah. Michelle, and I want listeners to know, there were no marks, there were no bruises, there was no pain, there was no anything.
Aww.
I mean, it was incredible you. Because I have been somebody, I mean, I've been in national TV forever. And of course, I want to mm-hmm. continue to look as good mm-hmm. as I possibly can. I've never had this kind of an experience, and I have seen, and of course, if Marshall Allen is still listening, you know, some of the, I think, real bona fide top doctors, mm-hmm. you know, over the years in different cities. But yeah. I mean, your techniques, I've never experienced anything like it, where the time I didn't feel
you.
Rushed and where the results are amazing.
Oh, thank you, Beatty. I mean, honestly, that means everything to me, because when it comes down to it, I form relationships with the people who come to see me, and I want you guys to be happy. I mean, I think that's really it for me. That's you kind of mentioned this before, I think, when you were saying, you know, helping others is also a way of helping yourself. And I feel that way about this, because, you know, if somebody comes to me and they're like, you know, I'm just getting back into the dating world after a rough divorce, or I want to go for this new job, but everybody's always telling me I look so tired, even though I slept 10 hours the night before, you know, or I lost all this weight and I have all this extra skin now. I mean, these things are something I feel like everybody can relate to. And when I can help somebody address those things, I mean, that's, to me, it's everything.
Mm-hmm. But I mean, clearly you have been and are very, very well trained. Yesterday, as an example, I was looking online at, you know, what kind of experience people need to have, the minimal experience that people need to have, mm-hmm. for example, who administer Botox. Mm-hmm. And I mean, you can go to school and in a very, very short period of time, mm-hmm. you can become a Botox injector,
yeah.
and not have your background, not have the real qualifications. And it seems as if almost anybody can go into this field right now. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong. And
yeah.
Administer
it can be
a variety of different fillers. Without having the medical knowledge, without having mm-hmm. the experience, it's frightening.
It is. It is frightening. And, you know, that's something that really does rub me the wrong way, because if for nothing else, then unfortunately, I see so many people that have gone to other facilities and had, you know, various non-invasive things done with people that probably shouldn't be doing these things. And, you know, it can have dangerous health ramifications. But also, I mean, it really messes with people's emotional state, and it costs them more money now, because now they have to go somewhere else to try to fix it. I mean, it really is a spiral. And this field, what I love about it is that it is so dynamic and things are always changing and new stuff is coming out. But on that flip side, it's hard, I think, for, you know, regulations and guidelines to keep up with it. So you kind of have this gray area where there are people practicing and doing things that really shouldn't be. And, you know, for a variety of reasons, that's very, it's frightening and frustrating.
So basically, I mean, are you saying that almost anyone, like you can go into a hair salon and you'll find that there are people who are doing Botox? I mean, how does that work?
Yeah, so now they shouldn't be, and each state, let me say, has its own specific requirements. And people can, you know, if they'd like to, they can always look up their state Department of Health or for the medical guidelines and look to see, you know, who is and is not qualified to perform, you know, various procedures. But with that said, there are a lot of people that are, you know, kind of going outside the lines, so to speak, so that, you know, if there is a salon, you know, they may have a registered nurse that comes in and does injections once a week. You know, okay, I don't know that that's necessarily the setting that I would prefer to practice in, because you need to keep in mind sterile technique, aseptic technique, you know, various other things. But there are, you know, I've heard horror stories about people going to a nail salon and they're injecting, you know, quote unquote Botox out of the back, which is, you know,
right, which is pretty horrifying. Are you finding, Michelle, that more and more people are really turning away from surgery these days, you know, preferring the process, minimal downtime, the lower costs, and the results of non-surgical procedures? I mean, the list of non-surgical procedures, I mean, the list is getting longer every single year.
Yeah, I mean, I will say, the non-surgical side is very exciting because, like you say, you know, there's so many things out there which, you know, can be kind of good and bad, especially from a consumer's perspective, because it could be a little overwhelming. And me personally, I like to really do my research before I jump on something, before it's, you know, just the new fad, just to have it for the sake of having it. But in particular, right now, you know, during quarantine and everything, we have this kind of Zoom boom of everybody now coming in because they're looking at themselves on the screen from having to do all these Zoom meetings. And they're like, oh my gosh, do I really look like this? You know? And I remember this happening back in the day when camera phones were first coming around and people were taking selfies for the first time. So it's definitely on the rise. Now, of course, there's always going to be situations where surgery is the way to go. And we have had a rise in surgical patients as well here. But yeah, definitely there are so many amazing things that you can do nowadays non-surgically. And, you know, there are people that are just perhaps not at that stage yet where they need to do surgery, or they don't have the finances for it, you know, or they can't take off the time. So there, it's really amazing that there are so many options now available to the consumer so that they can, you know, make themselves feel better and fit it into their lifestyle.
You know, one of the questions, actually the recurring questions that came from, you know, people who I had told you were going to be on the show, had to do with skin tightening, you know, and the question was, do you think we would be able to get away with not having to have a facelift by a skin tightening technique? So I promised them that I would ask you the questions.
Well, don't we all want skin tightening, right?
Yes, we do. Yes, we do.
Well, so we do have here, we have something really amazing for tightening. It's a radio frequency microneedling device. And it basically takes these two amazing technologies and combines them into one wonderful machine. And depending on the indication and, you know, how much laxity in the skin there is and what part of the body, you know, you would come in consultation and anywhere from one to, you know, three treatments. And you can get pretty amazing results with this. I'm super excited. I've already hit, like, you know, five different parts of my body with this thing.
You've done it yourself. And are you thrilled? Are you happy? Do you like what you're seeing?
Oh, my gosh. Yes, I'm thrilled. I can't wait. I'm almost up for my second round. Usually they're spaced about 4 weeks apart. And, yeah, I'm super excited about this. I'm excited for patients. So that's a really exciting thing. So now with your question, you know, depending on the, you know, where, what is your baseline? If there's a large amount of excess skin, for instance, then you're going to get improvement, but I never tell people 100%. So if there's a very large amount of skin, that may be a scenario where you need to go surgical. But if you just have, you know, some lax skin, even moderately lax skin, you know, from volume loss, for instance, you know, we're all trying to stay in shape and work out. And when we're exercising, you'll notice people who are really avid runners, sometimes they can tend to look a little gaunt in the face because they get very lean. And it's one of the ultimate conundrums in life is, okay, I want to be in shape and it looks great from the neck down, but then from the neck up, I look like I'm tired all the time. So there are things like threads, which is another really amazing thing that you can do that would be an alternative to doing surgery, where that I, upon assessment, look and see, and you can do a mid-face lift and basically lift up the, you know, the skin and the fat pads that have kind of flipped down south a little bit and bring them back up to their natural position. It's done in, you know, one day. There's really no downtime to it. And that's an amazing option. You could do brow lifts with that, give yourself like a little arch, and you can, you know, do jawline and neck lifts. It's very amazing and exciting.
I mean, for example, if somebody wanted to tighten various different parts of their face, how do you determine, Michelle, whether or not, let's say, a thread lift versus mm-hmm. a microneedling procedure?
Mm-hmm.
How do you go about deciding whether it should be A, B, C, or D?
Mm-hmm. Well, there are a lot of different factors that would go into that kind of decision-making process. Of course, you know, I'm going to do a thorough medical history and make sure that there aren't any, you know, contraindications for one, you know, procedure versus another. These things are pretty friendly to most people, which is nice. But then, you know, I'll look and see which part of the face is it that we want to target. Do we want kind of an all-over global approach, or are we, you know, focusing on one area? And honestly, you know, a lot of times it's a combination therapy where we'll, you know, go with the radio frequency first, and then we'll come back and do some fine-tuning with the threads. So it's really every person, I would say, I look at everybody as a unique individual, and I like to say everybody has their own little recipe, because I'm Italian and it always comes back to food. Everybody
course.
Has their own recipe.
Well, you know, I'm looking at your brochure, and I think that the mm-hmm. consumer and listeners, they need to know that, I mean, there's actually so many different and new options mm-hmm. that we didn't have yeah. years ago.
Yep.
And that's what's really exciting. I mean, whether it's Botox mm-hmm. and I'm looking, you know, at a section here on laser skin resurfacing and mm-hmm. plasma mm-hmm. regenerative therapies and mm-hmm. microneedling mm-hmm. And you know, the list goes on. And I guess, you know, just like what Marshall Allen was saying, and in my field as well, clearly all therapists are certainly not the same. You know, the consumer, mm-hmm. we have to be so cautious and yeah. so careful to do our homework. And, you know, I have a confession. I mean, it was just luck that I found mm-hmm. you and Dr. Weintraub's office. I knew nothing about Dr. Weintraub. And of course, everybody's profile, basically, mm-hmm. you know, it's great doctor, it's world renowned. I mean, it was just luck that yeah. I, you know, tentatively took the via over and kind of wondered, mm-hmm. you know, what was this, you know, what was this consult going to be like? I had no expectations, and you know, so there's a lot of hit and miss when it comes mm-hmm. to, you know, finding the best doctor, the best dentist, the best therapist. Mm-hmm. And
I think you're so right with that. And that can be so overwhelming to people. Especially, I mean, with any doctor or dentist, as you say, psychiatrist, therapist. But I feel like people have that extra added level of angst when it's something to do with your face.
Absolutely.
And it's nerve-wracking because there's no concrete way to say, yes, this is the best way to find somebody. But I think that there are some, like, general guidelines to follow. And I think this kind of applies to everything across the board, whether it's, you know, a rheumatologist or a therapist or looking for somebody for as an aesthetic provider. I think it's very important to feel comfortable with that person. You know, I said I really like to connect with people. And I feel like as a consumer, when you're going into these consultations, and fortunately at BeautyWorks here, we offer consultations for free, which is wonderful because I know a lot of places don't do that. But that consultation, I feel like you should really use that as like you're interviewing that person.
Right.
You know, you're
right.
Looking for somebody. And I think you should 100% never feel awkward to ask the questions. Like, come in with a list of questions that you want to ask. I encourage that in the people that come see me. And I think if somebody is, like, you know, tapping their foot or checking the clock or getting aggravated, that might be like a little red flag that may not be a good fit for you. Because, you know, I like to spend time with the people that come to see me, whether, you know, new or existing. I want you to feel comfortable and encouraged to ask those questions. So I think that's a major thing. And, you know, with me, I feel like, you know, intuition and gut feeling can go a long way. And I feel like you can really kind of get a feel for somebody when you're sitting there and you're asking those questions. And, you know, everybody's going to be nervous when they're doing these kind of things, which is totally normal. But if your gut is kind of like tingling and telling you, like, I don't think this is the right thing, you kind of have to listen to your gut, you know, and, you know, go and think on it. I mean, you don't have to make a decision right away. I think that's the other thing that people get caught up in. I never want to make somebody feel rushed or pressured or pushed into doing anything, because at the end of the day, I want you to feel happy with it and I want a relationship. So, you know, if someone's pushing you, that's like another red flag. So some of these things I feel like are tools to help people, you know, because sometimes they just are like, okay, I'm here, I got to do it, you know, I've already got up the courage. But, you know, no, you have to trust your gut, ask as many questions as you can, feel comfortable with that person. And, you know, that's, I think, the best way to go about these things.
Exactly. But, you know, Michelle, I could continue to talk with you for the next couple of hours. My producer just told me I've got less than a minute left. So listen, I want to thank you so much for this conversation. And of course, you can be reached at BeautyWorks. And the telephone number is 855-733-1717. And people haven't got a pen and a paper, they can always email me and I will be able to refer them to you. So again, thank you so much and I will see you soon. And I love the office. The staff is great. This is not a commercial. This is coming really from the heart. So again, thanks so much, Michelle, and we'll talk soon, okay?
Thank you so much for having me, Beattie.
Bye-bye. Well, listen, I hope everybody that this has been a show where you've learned something, where you feel empowered. And if you are so much in need, or you have a desire, that you will contact Michelle Malpica at BeautyWorks. So everybody, another hour has actually come and gone here on the Ask BD show, and I leave you with my two messages. And of course, the first is to do whatever it is you can do every single day to do what is in your best interest and to love yourself. And of course, the second message is that we all need to do a much, much, much better job, particularly in this country and around the world, to love each other. So goodbye, everybody. I will talk with you next week. Take good care. Have a good rest of the day, and be well. Bye-bye.